You're tuned into Desperate, a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down Wisteria Lane to visit ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives. Retire your apron, kick off your heels, and sit back. Hit it, girls!
Hello, and welcome to Desperate. This week, we are virtual. We're not recording in the same room, which is what we typically do. Yeah. This is a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down with Wisteria Lane to visit the lovely ladies of Desperate Housewives.
Yep.
And I'm Julia. I guess I should say my name.
And I'm Jordan.
Yeah, like we said, we're both two unwed women. We're cat moms and one dog mom.
Yeah.
That's as far as our domesticity goes usually.
Well, we don't just keep alive. We are good for baby parents. We are very, very dedicated. I would say, like, in a housewife way.
Yes. Yes, Mike and Pia. I got on the phone and I was telling Jordan, she heard me talking to my cat, and I was like, you're such a good companion. telling her, you're so perfect. No one's so perfect as you. And I bought her a Santa hat last night.
Aw. I need to see photos of her in it.
Oh, yeah. I think that'll be my Christmas card. My late Christmas. Yes. It'll be my New Year's card.
Yeah. We were going to do that, too, and then it just, like, didn't happen. So maybe next year.
We have, like, lots of good ideas, and then the holidays come, and you actually don't want to do anything.
Yeah, you're just like, this is shitty. It's cold out. I'm tired. Like, I just don't want to do this.
Everything's horrible. It's raining here in California. That never happens.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Today, we're talking about Season 2, Episode 7, Color and Light. The way this goes, if you're new around here, is that we're going to talk about what happened last episode and maybe like what's been going on all season, just so you're up to date. We're going to do a desperate deed, which is our own desperate deeds, just to get you warmed up for what's coming your way in the episode. We go watch the episode, recap it, and then we rate it on several different scales. That's how it's going to go down today. We can talk about last episode. It was an interesting one. It had high marks from us. There were some uncomfy scenes. There were some really fun scenes.
Yeah.
We can start with Lynette. She had a really fun, we might have in season one called it a one-off storyline, but it seems like Lynette's doing a lot of like workplace storylines. And this one was about how her coworkers are bullying her.
Yeah, like hardcore.
Yeah, Jordan and I were crazy. Like, is this bullying? Like, what should we call this? They harass her about her suits. They bully her into buying a new... I don't even say bully her into buying a new one. It seems like she got the feedback that her suits were ugly and not working. And so she bought new suits. And then her boss is like, wow, dance, puppet, dance. Like, you'll just do whatever I asked you to. I didn't know my words affected you so much. And it was just like this really weird scene between her and Nina.
It was like such a like a lose-lose for Lynette. Like, I don't know. Nina seems literally impossible to work with based on that.
It made me uncomfortable because I knew that if that happened to me, I would have been crying like all. I would have cried for like a week over that situation.
I would have been dead. I would have just never come back to work.
Yeah, I would have quit on the spot. But she ends up falling in love with this particular suit. Tom is like, it's too much money. And she's like, but the suit, it flows. And then she wears it to her meeting with the tags on, like planning to return it after, like a good mom would do, because she was like, we don't have the money for this. And then Nina is in the meeting and sees the tag sticking out. And at first I thought she was being really clutch and she like pulled the tag off, or like I thought she was going to go up to Lynette and be like, your tag is showing. But she announces it in front of their whole client meeting that Lynette bought this new suit, and then she rips the tag off so Lynette can't return it. And then Lynette goes and buys Tom some golf clubs at the end of the episode, which I thought was very sweet.
Yeah, it was like a cute way for them to kind of wrap up their feelings about it.
Yeah, they agree that they both need to treat themselves a little bit. So moral of the story there. And then Bree had a bit of an uncomfy storyline that implied sexual assault from George. She keeps breaking out in hives whenever they're getting intimate. And she's very frustrated. It seems like she does want to sleep with him, although we don't want that for her because it's horrible. And they go on a romantic getaway. He buys the room, but then he also gives her antihistamines with her wine, which he knew would make her a little bit drowsy. And then she is drowsy, passes out, and George is just watching her sleep. And he low-key threatens to leave her. And it's very uncomfortable. And then he kind of forces her to have sex. I wouldn't say force. Okay, force is the wrong word. But he makes all these low-key threats and demands. about how one day I'm not going to be there if you're never ready. And like, I can only wait so long. And then she's like, wait, actually, I'll sleep with you. And then they sleep together and she looks torn up inside at the end.
Yeah. She had regrets.
Yeah. Like she looked like the face of a woman with regrets. That's what it was.
Yeah. For the rest of our gals, we had Gabby, who had like an action movie of a storyline. So she is dressed inappropriately per always at court, and David's like berating her, and this random husband of some client or man that had a restraining order put on him basically like threatens him and then shoots at him, and David's like bulletproof briefcase like saves him, and he throws Gabby out of the way, and then he like the guy like throws the gun and he picks it up at the cop. Like apparently all he sees is David with the gun and he shoots him. So poor David still gets shot regardless. Gabby, again, dressed very inappropriately, goes to the hospital and she's like taking care of him and she sees him kind of in a new light. And I think like he's clearly having like those near death experience vibes. Later they go to the court and he basically quits on the spot saying like he's in love with Gabby. And Carlos is like, what the fuck? Gabby and Carlos talk about it. Carlos is like, you wanted to sleep with him all along. Like, here's your chance. Like, you know, whatever. And he's like, I'd rather be in jail than be free and you like have some affair or whatever. So after that conversation, it kind of cuts to Gabby like ready to seduce David. And we're like, what the fuck was happening? But she basically just like tricks him into proving that he just wants an affair with her or lusts after her and is not in love with her. And we agree that it was a pretty bad bitch, like manipulative move. Like she could read people like no other.
I think she got Housewife of the Week for that one.
Oh, totally. Totally. Like, yeah, we talk about this, but her manipulations usually work out for her. So that was a pretty good one on her.
She's the smartest.
Yeah.
Of the four.
I think she reads a room better than anybody and knows how to play the people around her better.
Yeah, I mean, she had to think on her feet all through growing up. We got that little insight into her childhood in season one.
Yeah.
Also, if you're looking for some New Year's Eve outfit inspiration, that's just around the corner. Just, like, look at any of Gabby's outfits from this season. They are really wilding out.
Oh, yeah. No, they're literally insane. Like we said, she wears like a tube top to the hospital
to feed like, him. That's and wild. She feeds him. Like, that is a big no-no in my book. No feeding people.
Very strange. And then last but not least, dramatic ass Susan comes in hot. They're prepping for her mom's wedding. Her mom, Sophie, Manic Sophie, if you remember from the last season.
She's back.
Basically, Mike like tells her that he's going to propose, but just not yet, because like he wants it to be a surprise. Susan ends up seeing Paul and calls the police because Paul returned last episode, and they arrive and Susan gathers like a flash mob of people to go over to Mike's house so Mike can like tell the cops that he has proof that Paul killed Mrs. Huber. And Mike denies knowing anything, which pisses Susan off, but he explains, he's like, I'm a fucking ex-con with a gun and stuff, like I'll get in trouble too. But Susan gets it, but is, like, still kind of upset because Susan can't see outside of herself very well.
Ever.
So then, like, Paul shows up to Susan's where he, like, asks where Zach is and threatens her with a knife. And instead of just, like, lying because there's no way for Paul to know whether she's telling the truth or not, she tells him the truth that she, like, gave Zach money to, like, go off and to, like, go to Utah. Paul, like, ends up telling Mike, obviously, which just causes Mike and Susan's relationship to completely fall apart when Mike confronts her while she's wearing her mother's wedding dress for a fitting. He basically asks her, she starts like trying to explain herself and then she admits to it and he just like drives off and she chases him into the street and has a full blown meltdown in the street in this wedding dress.
Yeah, it's not her finest moment. And yeah, there were characters that have never, like, there's not even that many people that live on Wisteria Lane that are gathered outside of Paul's house. All these people are outside of Paul's house, and all Ida Greenberg is there. We've seen Ida Greenberg. There was some other lady talking about her cats. And then Edie was like proud that she made out with Paul if he was a murderer. And that was one of my favorite lines.
Yeah.
I'm also wondering, how much money do you think Susan gave Zach to go to Utah?
I don't know. They're really inconsistent with how much money Susan has, but I would say she probably gave him, like, I would say maybe $1,000.
Oh, my God. I was thinking, like, $300.
No, I would say, like, $1,000, because I think she wanted him gone that bad.
Dang.
And okay, I think Susan's not smart enough to, like, not give that much money.
Hopefully we get a monetary value eventually. Mm-hmm. Mike was pretty pissed. She's screaming at him. She's standing in front of his truck. Like, she's not above anything at that point in time.
Yeah, no.
And I think that we saw the Applewhites.
No, we didn't. They were not in that episode.
We missed some Applewhite action. So I feel like we're only getting them every other episode or so.
It's almost like the writers gave up on them.
Yeah, the writers. They wrote 5 episodes with them and then they completely ignore them.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
Yeah, Gabby got Housewife of the Week. I don't remember who. Oh, I fucked David, I believe. Yeah, it was great. So that brings us up to speed of where we are. I think we can go into our desperate deeds. Last episode, I said I had 2 for my dad.
Mm-hmm.
I gave us 1 about him washing his underwear in the sink of the hotel room to avoid buying some. I'm still just so shocked. It's so horrifying. My second one is that while we were wine tasting that weekend, we went to this one winery. We had already gone to a tasting or two. We had a couple glasses in us. So we're all feeling loosey-goosey. We're all feeling fun and happy, which is usually what happens before the end of the night where everything's kind of crashing and burning.
Mm-hmm.
We were at a good level. And we go to this winery. And we're all eating lunch. And we're starved because we drink so much wine. And my aunt is just really popular. I don't know. We're in the middle of this other city and she knows lots of people around. I don't know how.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, my friend so-and-so is here celebrating their 60th birthday. And my dad, mind you, is turning 61 next week. I need to put that on my phone so I remember. He's turning 61. He can just be a little like, I don't know what the word for it is, critical. I think he can be a little like critical of looks sometimes. And he's getting old. He's obviously dealing with his looks that are deteriorating as well. Not that he's ugly, but he sees this woman that my aunt is saying hi to. And he is like the most sprung I have ever seen him.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like a teenage boy, like seeing his crush. Like, just, it was immediate. And he kept looking back because they were like a table away. He kept like looking back at her and be like, oh my God, she's 60. She's 60. And then he talks to her and he's like, you're turning 60. Like, he couldn't believe it. And then he says the most desperate of compliments. I've thought this before, but I've never like said it aloud within my first like meeting of somebody. But he was like, you have great teeth. He went, you have great teeth. Oh, and this was his line. It was so bad. I was so desperate.
That's,
and he
so
was
rough. So
yes. Jordan remembers she was there. And I was cackling. I thought it was the most hilarious thing I've ever seen. And so desperate. So my dad lived his best life that weekend. I'm sure if I thought really hard, I could come up with a third desperate deed for you from his act.
Oh, man. Your dad's classic, though. Classic.
Classic. It's too classic, but it was pretty horrifying and desperate. So that's my desperate deed. Yet another dad desperate deed. That needs to be its own subsection.
I know. That's funny.
Call your dad tonight. Tell him you love him, miss him.
Yeah. And ask him for any embarrassing stories he has.
Yes.
My desperate deed's not on topic whatsoever, but my boyfriend and I recently revisited this. And before I go into it, Julia, have I done as a desperate deed when Josh was messaging Andrew?
No.
Okay.
No,
you just haven't. Making sure.
I think
okay.
We talked in length about it before a recording session one time because okay. It's the most insane story I've ever heard.
Okay. So my desperate deed is about an ex. I have this like psycho ex. And when I first started like hanging out with my current boyfriend, it was pretty under the radar. Like there's not a lot of ways to know that like we'd been hanging out. We specifically kept it that way. And one day my boyfriend was getting a tattoo and some person was messaging him on Instagram and was being like super weird and was like, you're just a heartbreaker, but like complimenting him, talking about how like the anime they both like, I don't know. My boyfriend got home that day and he was like, hey, like this is super weird. Like some guy or some person's messaging me and these messages are so strange. And I was like, that is weird. He showed it to me and I just like immediately knew. Like, do you ever just like know the way someone talks and you're just like, yep, that's that. That's very on brand. I like looked at my boyfriend and I was like, I think that might be my ex. And he was like, what? And so I did a little sleuthing and I did like the forgot my password using that account name. and it gives you like part of the phone number and part of the email that's attached to the account. Confirmed it was my ex. And to this day, we're not sure exactly how he decided to single out my current boyfriend, but it means he was either stalking me or just like searching random ass people that liked my posts and like following them. But of all the desperate ways to get like your ex-girlfriend's attention, I mean, it got my attention, but if anything, people in the world do not stalk the person that your person is dating in such an obvious way. Like, Jesus Christ.
Scary that he was making burner accounts. They were burner accounts.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. No, that was insane. And I just, the other day, like we revisited it because we had the screenshots of the messages and we were laughing because it was just so, I mean, desperate and pathetic. Like, just like overall fucking ridiculous.
Well, there was no like purpose to them either. Like, they were just chatting. It wasn't like he was trying to extract information or anything. It was super weird.
That's why, like, I was almost at first like, it's not him, because like, this is so pointless.
He just had some time on his hands.
Yes, I was like, what is going on? So that's my desperate deed for the week. Exes can be psycho.
If you like somebody, give them a genuine compliment, not about their age or their teeth. And if somebody has broken up with you, don't make a burner account and stalk people that they're friends with.
Yeah, no, of course. Like, that's rule number one, folks. That's not how you win people back.
Yeah.
A strong George energy from my ex.
It was, oh my goodness, the most George energy ever.
Yeah.
If I had to pick a character for him, Jesus Christ. Yeah. We need to write a rule book of desperation.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So we hope that you're warmed up. We're very excited to see where these storylines go, specifically George. Very intrigued. And like I said, it's season 2, episode 7, Color and Light. You can watch it on Hulu or Amazon Prime. So take your pick, pick your poison. And we're going to go watch that episode and then we'll be right back. But before we do that, you know the drill to buckle up.
Buckle up.
Season 2, episode 7, Color and Light. Lynette and Tom find a like-minded couple to watch their kids. Susan rebounds from Mike with her ex-husband. Gabby tries to hide her pregnancy from old friends. Marriage to Bree is hot on George's mind. The Applewhites continue to hide their secret. Barely. All right. Color and Light. I think we get it now. We get that it's talking about cameras and photographs.
Oh, definitely. That makes a lot more sense now that we've seen the episode. Sometimes those titles don't really add up, but this one kind of did.
Well, I told you all last season, I was like, what are these titles? And then you told me that they were the names of some musical songs.
They're Stephen Sondheim songs.
Yes, which yeah. R.I.P.
Yeah, rip.
Rip, yeah. Well, these titles are making a bit more sense to me this season. And this episode has some unexpected, but also expected, twists and turns. Did I see that George was going to murder another person for Bree? Yes. Did I think it would be Dr. Goldfind? No.
Honestly, him kind of coming back this season was unexpected to me.
Dr. Goldfind? Yeah. I was jazzed when I did see him come on screen, though. I was like, yeah, he's still treating Bree. She needs it.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, well, we can take it from the top here with our classic Mary Alice Young monologue. Mm-hmm. It never gets old. It's often said that necessity is the mother of invention. How mothers came to invent play dates so they could have time for themselves. But some mothers don't get to take advantage of this time, like Lynette. And she doesn't get to do this because of her unruly twins. Let's just say it. They're awful.
They
are. I wonder where they are. Where are they at today?
I would like to know. Probably in prison.
I think that they're probably like our age or older. Lynette couldn't rest on weekends because the twins didn't get playdate invitations. Ever since they convinced this kid that a pair of magic wings could make him fly and dared this other kid to ride a bike blindfolded, and then a third time they just fucked up another kid's life by playing a game of toss the brick. Which, if your kid is stupid enough to take part in that, that's your kid's fault.
Yeah, that's on your kid.
Teach your kids some common sense. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's the twins' fault. But the twins had become persona non grata, and Lynette's secret dream of being able to take an occasional Saturday to nap was growing dimmer and dimmer until she meets this other lady with, like, an awful child, and mm-hmm. they are match made in heaven.
Yeah, Norma.
So, yes, this is going to get buck wild.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait. It was one of my fave things to see. And it's, like, perfect that Lynette was the person to deal with this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Lynette and this lady meet, and they agree that they're going to have, like, play dates. And, like, it becomes this thing. And they're, like, same time next week. And she was determined to keep these play dates at all costs is how we kind of round out that mm-hmm. beginning. And then we have our little intro. And then Mary Alice Young starts talking about cameras. And you're like, this is different, but okay, I'm on board. So cameras are simple tools designed to capture images, images that tell us more about ourselves than we realize, remind us of the long journey we've taken, the loved ones who traveled alongside us, those we lost along the way, and those waiting for us on the road ahead. And we see lots of pics here, an ultrasound, a pic of Rex, I think a picture, well, we'll get to the Susan and Carl picture, but we see lots of pics there, so we're getting the vibe.
Mm-hmm.
So if we recall last episode, Susan was caught crying in the middle of the street in a mm-hmm. wedding dress.
Yeah.
And it was, like, really embarrassing.
It was super embarrassing.
It was so embarrassing. Like, I'm glad that the girls were there for her because she's never going to live that down.
Oh, yeah.
But they're at a poker game, and Edie is there, and Gabby, everybody's there, and they're, like, just seem to be catching up on life, like, really casually. And it's like, you guys, Susan was embarrassing last week. Like,
yeah, that was,
you're not talking about that.
Yeah, Susan was a straight up disaster, but okay.
Edie and Gabby are talking about the sonogram or, like, the ultrasound picture. And Edie's like, ew, how can I eat when I'm staring at a uterus? And Susan's like, let me see the baby. And Bree's like, frame it. They're all talking about it. And Gabby's just like, whatever. After that, yeah, Gabby is like, let's change the subject because I hate talking about my baby. And she's like, we're supposed to be cheering up Susan. And she gives her a scoop of, I have to call it out, mint and chip ice cream.
Yeah. Who wants that as their, like, fucking comfort ice cream?
I said this had better be her favorite ice cream.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, there's no reason why there's a thing of mint and chip ice cream in the middle of the table. It was absurd. So, and it's also midday. They're, like, eating this ice cream. It was all mm-hmm. bizarre.
It was super bizarre.
Edie's like, why are you being so chill? Don't you remember how you ran down the street in this wedding dress and, like, Mike dumped you? Like, Edie just brings it back up. She's like, why are you being so casual?
Yeah.
And she says to Susan, I know it'd be a blubbering mess. Can you cry, please, so I can watch? And I just love Edie being yeah. so, like, on the nose, but, like, kind of sympathetic. And Susan said she's feeling zen, which makes me immediately concerned.
This is almost more manic than her being manic. Like,
yeah, yeah. When the most manic person you know says they're zen, you're very concerned.
Yeah.
Aubrey says Mike's gonna come back, and I don't know where the fuck she got that idea. Like, what kind of advice? Like, I would just be honest. I'd be like, well, I don't really know.
Yeah, I'd be like, this is pretty rough, actually. Prepare for the worst.
She's like, I really think this is irreparable. Mm-hmm. Gabby was like, oh, well, Susan's like, Susan kind of accepts it. She's like, I had a huge betrayal, so I get if he doesn't. And Gabby is like going up to bat for her about the Susan's or the Zach and Julie thing. She was like, you're just trying to protect Julie. They're all kind of on board about this. And Susan's like, I've been thinking and, you know, it's like fine, but maybe we can be friends one day. And Edie just calls it like she sees it. She's like, you're not zen. You're just like numbed out. So
yeah,
that's where the ladies together kind of ends. But I think that was, yeah, kind of the opening. That's really the only time we see them together. But we can just talk about Lynette since she really kicked off everything.
Yeah, no, her story was kind of the overarching tie, I guess, between everything. Basically, like we said, Lynette meets the crazy kid's mom, who, I mean, crazy as her kids. They're all crazy. Norma, her name's Norma, and they decide that they're going to do, like, you know, a play date after her kid kind of fucks up Lynette's kids. Lynette's like, it's fine, like, it's all good. Because she's, like, that desperate, I guess, for her kids to have a play date. Lynette gets really into the fact that she can, like, have her time. It's kind of, like, super benefiting her and Tom. When it's their turn to host the boys, this Norma's son, like, brings a videotape with him. And they're all kind of, like, in there being super quiet, which is, like, almost more nerve-wracking for Lynette than, like, them being loud. So she goes up there and she enters the bedroom to find them watching a sex tape between this other boy's parents, Norma, and I don't even know what the guy's name is, but it's like a very uncomfortable sex tape of two very middle-aged people. And like Lynette and Tom like scramble to cover that shit up. Cause like Norma's boobs are almost like just exposed for everybody. So she takes the tape and then Lynette and Tom like kind of don't know how to handle it, but they like bring it up to like the mom when she picks up her son, and she like panics and like leaves in a rush and like doesn't say anything and like freaks out. Tom and Lynette like go over to their house to talk to them about it, and they're like trying to play it cool because like they don't want to miss out on the like, I don't know, like on the play dates because it's just been so like relaxing for them. The husband like gets really into it. He's like, oh, you guys are cool with that? So he like shows them his like whole ass fucking studio they've built, like a sex dungeon videotape room. I don't even know. He thinks he's like Martin Scorsese of pornos.
It makes me like, at first there were two things I thought. I thought that they might have a threesome, like a foursome. And yeah. Then I just thought this guy has, like, he's the most excited he's ever been to, like, show somebody his big secret.
Yeah, no, he's, like, acting, he seriously is acting like he makes legitimate films. Yeah. And, like, he takes them to where they shoot their videos, and basically Lynette and Tom are like, okay, we tried to be cool about this, but this is a bit much, and they never see this couple again. So, again, yeah. It's kind of a one-off story, I guess. But in a fun, like, super fun, best possible way.
It was so funny. And the guy, the dad, is the dad from 10 Things I Hate About You, if anybody's seen that movie.
Oh, my God, yeah. He's in lots of stuff. I like him. He's a good like, character actor.
He's great. I think his name is Leonard. But I also have to say, they watch when they see the kids watching the tape, it, like, takes Tom and Lynette a moment to, like, understand that it's a sex tape.
Yeah, because I would never expect that. Like, if I walked in, I'd be like, what the fuck? Like, my brain would be like, does not compute.
Yeah, and they are, like, freaking out. And Lynette, like, jumps in front of the TV. And Tom's like, where's the remote? Like, it's so frantic. And the kids are like, what? I don't get it. That was funny like, it starts off as just hilarious there. But then in the sex tape, the woman is, like, showing her tits and being like, peekaboo. Peekaboo.
Oh my God, yeah.
And then when she comes to pick up her kids, she sees Penny, the baby, and the lady's like, peekaboo. And Lynette's like, stop, I can't.
Like, yeah, Lynette gets like war flashbacks.
Yeah, but I can't. Like, Tom and Lynette were being also just so chill. They were trying to be so chill about the video setup. The guy is going into all these details about like the film he uses and the way they set it up. And like, Tom and Lynette are like, cool. Like, awesome. Like, they're like, please so stop. Hard.
Yeah.
So it was one of my favorite storylines, like, for Lynette, because Lynette's the only person who could handle it. Like, she could keep her straight face, her poker face. Like,
yeah, I think like they're definitely the most like funny of the couples that like are the best actors in that sense.
Yeah, yeah. So Tom and Lynette killed it. And yeah, they leave and they're like, we're never bringing our kids here again. It's over. So I wonder if the twins, like, ever ask about their friend. Lynette's just like, we can't play with them.
Yeah, no, Lynette's like, what friend? What are you talking about?
Yeah, that was all in your imagination.
So, yeah.
I think next we can go into Susan, because I want to talk about Bree and Gabby together. We do see an epic friendship moment there, so maybe we can close out with those two.
Okay.
Susan, what do you guys think she does now that she's broken up What do you think she does?
Oh, if your assumption is that Susan does the worst possible thing she could do, you'd be correct, folks.
Yeah, like, oh, what does God. Anybody do when they break up with their partner? Like, they call the ex.
Yeah,
I mean, not all the time, but, like, there's typically somebody that resurfaces. Whether you sleep with them or not, there's somebody that you are fucking like, oh, my God, like, how have you been?
It happens.
So long.
Yeah. No, it happens. And this is, like, peak of that, I guess. But basically, Susan, like, moves. Like, she and Mike kind of moved in together, but not really. I don't know. They never really made clear, like, what that whole thing was. But Susan takes the last of her stuff home from Mike's house and then sees Carl and Edie, like, have a huge fight and break up. And the next day, Carl, like, shows up. And Susan's just, like, alone at her house, and they start to drink wine together, which never mix. Like, you're That's already risky. In a place, like, okay, they're at her house, which is, like, no one's going to be there to stop them if something gets out of hand. They're drinking, and, like, there's obviously a lot of emotions, but whatever. Sure, good idea, Susan. Carl tells Susan that they broke up because he had a picture of Susan under his mattress. And I guess Edie saw this and was, like, pissed and thought that Carl was, like, in love with her. And, you know, they're, like, divorced or whatever. So the next day, Julie gets home and finds her parents in bed together, which traumatizing. And if I were Julie, like, I would just be so fucking over both of my parents at this point. Like, Jesus Christ, they're both, like, her dad's a fucking swarmy asshole and her mom, like, can't keep her shit together. Like, this is embarrassing. Julie is pissed and, like, leaves. And then Susan later tells Carl that it was just a one-night stand and she's not ready to be with anybody or him. And Carl feels different, but he goes back to Edie. So this is, like, where it gets kind of, like, I feel sad for Edie. Like, this shit's kind of fucked up. Because Edie, like, thanks Susan and is, like, you know, I don't know what happened between you two, but, like, now we're back together. And Susan, like, I guess it was, like, weird. I feel like she felt, like, bittersweet, but, like, she's, like, pissed off. I think she's, like, unhappy with herself because she slept with Carl and, like, but in a way is, like, glad she made a difference for him. I don't know. It's, like, super, it was interesting, I guess, the way that she reacted to it.
It was weird because she's like, he showed up with flowers and apologized for everything. So thank you. And Susan's like, what?
Yeah.
She's like, this is so unexpected. And then she gives the photo back and she's like, why are you giving it to me? And she's like, I appreciate what you did last night. I need you to know I won. And like, whatever hold you had on him, it's over. And it's like this weird, I don't know what she got. I don't know what either of them got out of that conversation.
No, it was super uncomfortable for both of them. I feel like it was embarrassing for both of them, too.
Yeah, it was really weird. I would never go to my, like, ex's or my, like, boyfriend's ex and be like, thank you.
Yeah. No,
he's really over you. Like,
never. Yeah, that shit's weird.
Especially if I knew that they fucked, because I assume that Edie had to have known. But I want to focus in on Susan's desperate move of returning the items to Mike.
Mm-hmm.
That was uncalled for because she tries to have a conversation with him. I think, like, Susan, just leave it on the porch. Like, leave it. Leave it all on the porch.
Yeah, just go. Just freaking go.
Instead, she, like, knocks on his door and she's like, I got the box of things you left on my porch. And it's like, okay, like, he did that for a reason. And then he's like, yeah, I thought you'd want that back. And he's like, well, and she says, well, I want, like, I didn't see the Joni Mitchell CDs or something like that. And he doesn't laugh because it's not funny. Like, she's trying to be quirky and funny, and he's just not there for it. I appreciate that Mike, like, stood his ground there. So he also gave back, this was too funny, he gave back the boring Valentine's Day card that just said love you in it.
Yeah, that weird ass card that was pathetic and low effort.
Mad respect for that, because she fucking freaks. She's like, you know, you're not supposed to like give Valentine's Day cards back. And so she gives it back to him and he's like, oh, and he just throws it in the trash.
Yeah, rightfully so, though. That's what I would have done.
Yeah, she's like lecturing him and he literally just throws it in the dump. Mm-hmm. It was too good. And then he's like, she's not getting it. Mike is just like, it's over on every level. Like, we're never going to be friends. And he tells her this and she mm-hmm. walks her sorry ass home per usual.
Oh, yeah. She takes her sorry ass back.
He's so upset, Susan.
Yeah.
So I needed to focus in on that because it was key. The rest of it is just Carl and Susan, like, having weird moments. I do have to say Carl coaxed her into the third and fourth glasses of wine, basically.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what he was doing. He's king fuckboy, and I think that he did plan to go back to Edie the whole time. I don't think it was ever, like, ever going to be officially done. The reason, like, Carl goes back to Edie, supposedly, is because Susan wakes up the next morning and was like, thanks for the fuck. Like, Susan was being, like, trying to be social.
Mm-hmm.
Carl is caught off guard because he's like, well, aren't we just like doing this thing again? And Susan's like, no. And then he goes back to Edie. So yeah, I think Carl, I would have to say Carl knew what he was doing. I think he always planned to go back to Edie. I think it's a ruse that he was even pretending he wanted to be with Susan.
No, I think he sees an opportunity for sex and just like jumps at it. Like, I think that he's just an asshole, and, like, I don't really understand Susan's attraction to him, because he's never very nice to her, ever.
Yeah, he's a huge dick. But, yeah, the whole thing is, like, this picture. I don't know why he's keeping a picture of Susan under his bed. I don't think it's anything romantic. I think it's another fuckboy thing. Like,
mm-hmm.
I know plenty of fuckboys who, like, send pictures and get pictures from girls, sexual or non-sexual, and I think it's just a fuckboy thing.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Julie, understandably pissed. I hate her parents for her. So those are my main takeaways from this.
Yeah, absolutely. No, Julie, I feel bad for her. So bad for her.
But now we can dive into Gabby and mm-hmm. we'll talk about how Bree comes into play. Because Bree has problems of her own that she doesn't even fucking know about.
Yeah.
Gabby is out here shopping for Dolce & Gabbana dresses while she's pregnant. I have mad respect for that. I would never do that because I would probably blow up like a balloon. But mad respect. Good for you, girl. Just buy the Dolce & Gabbana dresses.
Yeah.
I noted she's with some guy. He happens to be a sales associate that she knows on a first name basis. But I was very confused for a few moments. I'm like, who is this dude they're introducing? He says, you deserve this dress. You're never here anymore. You never see me. And she's like, I've been busy getting my husband out of jail. And I love that excuse. I kind of want to use that one day.
Mm-hmm.
He calls it like he sees it and says, that's a white trash thing to say. And I really like the sales associate immediately. And Carlos is just serving slave labor time. It's only 6 months. So we got an amount of time, I guess, that you serve for that. Basically, she's at the Dolce & Gabbana store because her friends from out of town are visiting, and she wants to impress them. She doesn't want them to know that she's pregnant, and she doesn't want them to think badly of her or that she's changed since her time in New York. And that is the moral of her story going on here. But the thing is, she is pregnant, and her life does suck sometimes, and her husband is in jail, so I don't know why she's trying to pretend all these things aren't happening to her. So she's like, I can't have them thinking I'm shopping at strip malls. That's embarrassing for her because she probably is.
Yeah.
And her friend calls all of the girls from out of town Botox tags. And I just am loving this banter that they're having. She is trying on a 00 dress. He mentions this and he's like, I have a 0 if you want to size up. And Gabby loses her fucking mind.
She's yeah.
Like, yeah, she's like, I'm a 00. I will always be and forever will be a 00. Surprised she's not. So she also, on top of, like, the moral of her story being that she's embarrassed, like, by her lifestyle for in front of her old friends, she spends the rest of the episode trying to get and fit into this dress. She says she's going to starve herself for 2 days, and I admire the dedication. And that's not good for a baby either, I don't think. So Gabby's all over the place, but really loving her compared to Susan. Yeah. She's refreshing after Susan.
Oh, absolutely.
So after crash dieting, Gabby was ready to savor the fruits of her labor, but she was dismayed to discover that she herself had ripened considerably. And surprise, surprise, the dress does not fit. So she goes to the gardener, demands him to help her fit into the dress, and she's like, put some muscle in it. It's not zipping. And they get like a gardening tool. They're like, and then she calls like two people in there. She says that she'll pay them $10 more a week if they can help her. And then they do get it on with some pliers, and she falls back into her chair and rips it.
Yeah.
This is where Bree comes into play. And Bree eventually comes over and tries to fix this dress. And Gabby's like, make it tighter. And she's like, Gabby, you're not going to be able to do anything in this dress. Like, if I'm fucking make it tighter. Mm-hmm. And she goes on, she ends up telling Bree about how she's worried about her friends. And Bree's like, do you really think they're going to make fun of you and like hate you for this? And she's like, you don't know them. They're merciless. And she's like, I mean, don't they have like children? And she says, when I married Carlos, I told them I'd spend the rest of my days being rich and in love and childless. And now if they know I'm pregnant, like the whole plan is ruined. I also admire her dedication to sticking to her plan from 5 to 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah. So, no, she's going to die on that hill.
Yeah, she's like, I never am going to have a kid. And she's like 6 months pregnant. She said they laughed at me. They told me I was going to be a fat housewife, like living a life I didn't plan. And I'm like, surprise, surprise, you are.
Yeah.
So she says I can't have them having any type of satisfaction. They're models. They're never happy for anyone. They're not going to be happy for me. And Bree is like being like, she's giving mentor vibes. And she asks a pointed question. She says, don't you ever think you might like motherhood at all? Like, you don't think that you're going to love it? And Gabby is in denial. She's like, I'm not saying I'm not going to grow attached to my child, but like, I don't have the motherhood gene.
Yeah.
So it's kind of sweet. I like that they're kind of having this open conversation because I don't think Gabby has really accepted that she's pregnant, if you can't tell.
Well, and I feel like she and Bree are like polar opposites with their values. So I think like for them to have this conversation and connect is really good.
Yeah, it's sweet. It reminds me of their friendship moment from last season where they're like with the check, with the money.
Mm-hmm.
So Bree says, I think a few months from now you're going to tell me how in love you are with your baby, and I'll have to resist the urge to say I told you so. And then Gabby's all zipped up and she can barely walk. So it's very cute. Then Gabby's friends come over and they're immediately like, oh my God, you're pregnant. And so it's like, all of this work for nothing, you know? Mm-hmm. And after her friends leave, she goes over to Bree's and she's like exhausted. She's like, you got to get me out of this dress. You got to just cut me out of it. And Bree's asking how it was. And Gabby says it was weird. Like, one of them told me she's losing jobs to young women. One is like an all veggie diet. And like one of them is doing some like facial restructuring thing. And it's all kind of like stuff I don't do anymore. And that's how it can be sometimes with old friends. So I like that Gabby sees this.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I don't even know like why we were friends and people changed and they haven't changed at all. So Gabby realizes after all this that she's changed. And then Bree is smiling inside and out. She says, maybe Susan, Lynette, and I have had some good influence on you. And they have this like cute friendship moment. I loved it. So then Bree's like, I'll be over to cut you out soon. And then Gabby's like, do you want to go shopping tomorrow? I need new clothes that fit. And then Bree's like, I know this great maternity place, and it's super cute.
It is cute. I like that part.
We should stop here and talk about the Apple Whites, because then there's an Apple White crossover with Gabby.
Mm-hmm.
So the Apple Whites, we get a feature. And I have to say, Matt is looking real fucking hot.
Yeah, no, he's looking pretty good.
And he gets a date with Danielle.
Yeah. I forget she exists.
Yeah, she might be the most desperate she's ever been.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
This all starts when they're bringing their son/slave ice cream. And I said, how kind. They're bringing him ice cream.
Yeah, how nice like, of them.
I know. Betty is like, I know it's been a while. And she sets it down. They have this weird conversation about like the chick that he supposedly killed and his remorse, but he's mentally disabled if we remember. So I just don't think like her Betty's tactic is working really well. I don't even know what's going on. So Betty says, I hate keeping you in here, Kayla, but I have to until I'm sure you won't hurt anyone else. And the first step is for you to show me that you understand that what you did is wrong. And Caleb, I believe, says she was a bad person. She deserved it. And Betty's like, no one deserves to die like that. And then Matt has a gun in his pants. And that's not a penis joke is what I wrote. He literally has a gun in the back of his pants.
Yeah. Yeah.
This conversation is not going the way Betty wants it to. I don't think Caleb is as dangerous as they're making him out to be. So as we're like learning more about what the Applewhites are doing, I am less like intrigued and I'm just more horrified.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible.
They end up like taking the ice cream away because I guess this was a weird bribe, and Caleb tries to chase after them because they're taking away the ice cream they so kindly offered him.
I know, and he's like confused.
He's like, I just want some ice cream, and I said that better have been good ice cream. And he ends up figuring out that he can loosen the chains, like, because he's chained in, and he has superhuman strength, I guess. So he kind of like pulls them out of the wall. Mm-hmm. And he's a smart kid, I have to say, for that.
Yeah.
Obviously, he escapes that mm-hmm. setup. So they're going to check on Caleb, and Betty is complaining about something or other and like the steps down the stairs. And then she sees the doors open and she's like, Caleb escaped. And Matthew runs into the street and they're looking around frantically. Betty is wearing a muumuu, of course. Matthew is like wearing a wife beater, of course. And I just feel like they did such like low maintenance on this family and this storyline. Like they gave both of the characters one outfit.
Oh yeah. No, they did not put a lot of effort into them whatsoever.
Yeah, it's pretty pathetic. So apparently they're looking all day and night and like none of the neighbors are suspicious. They're like running around yards. And the next time we see them, it's morning and Betty and Matthew are just like scouring the neighborhood still. Mm-hmm. They're like, he couldn't have gone far. You know, he has to be close. And they're asking which yards haven't been checked. And Matt's like, I'll go check this yard, and it's Bree's house. And he's going to the backyard and like Danielle is there in a bikini and it does not look warm. So I don't know what's going on.
I know. It's so weird. That scene is so crazy. I'm like, they just want us to like ogle at this teenage girl. Like, what's going on?
And she's smoking a cigarette.
She's like acting like a 35-year-old like depressed housewife.
It was hilarious. I never expected her to be, of all the things, I never expected her to be smoking a cigarette in a bikini in the backyard.
Yeah, no.
But Matt's turned on by this. He's like, I was looking, because she says, why are you in my backyard? Takes a drag from a cigarette. And he says, I was looking for you. You know, it said, met you once and just thought you were cool. And she's like, I know, I'm smoking a cigarette, so you must think I'm cool. But no, she doesn't say that. She says, so you're coming to ask me out because... I did some ad-libbing here. I can't trust my own notes. She says, so you're coming to ask me out. And then I wrote, because I'm still trying to get over John.
So oh, that my was God. My
ad-libbing there. But she bends over. She's doing a lot of seductive movement. And she says, don't ask me out because I'll say yes, basically.
Yeah.
And Matthew is distracted. And then I wrote, nothing happens and they don't find Caleb. So.
Nope. It was, like, the craziest thing I've ever seen.
It was certainly unexpected. So they don't find Caleb because he's in Gabby's house, and he gets scared and attacks Gabby. He accidentally makes her fall down the stairs, and she's pregnant, so this is a huge problem. And then Bree comes in because she was going to fix the dress, and she calls 911. And then when Gabby's getting into the ambulance, she's like, wait, Bree. And she whispers something, and you don't know what. And then Bree comes out and has the picture of the sonogram or the ultrasound mm-hmm. for Gabby. So
yeah.
Being pregnant is really affecting her now.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's sad. It's very sad. See, the look on Gabby's face is really sad.
It was a great, because it was really at the end of the episode. So it was mm-hmm. a great way to like round everything out and very yeah. emotional. And it doesn't make me dislike Caleb. I feel bad for Caleb that he was.
But it was an accident.
prisoner, yeah, that he's not being taught how to fucking handle.
And he clearly has, like, some sort of mental issue, so, like, he's probably just scared, and but he's, like, a big guy, so, you know, he seems scary.
So, poor Gabby and poor Caleb, but great. Gabby's story was a little bit deeper than we usually go with her, actually.
Yeah, no, for sure. I really liked her story this week.
But we can now finish off with Bree, or should I say George?
Yeah, the craziest for last.
A lot of
mm-hmm.
George is leading Bree to an open house. Where I think that he will eventually kill her or try to.
Okay.
That's my theory.
Good prediction.
She's blindfolded, so you're also very scared after you saw his behavior last episode. And Bree's like, why are we here? And George is like, just bought this house. And she's like, wow, congrats. Because that's a normal fucking response.
Mm-hmm.
What's not normal is that George bought this house for them to live in together. Not okay.
Nope, not okay.
On top of that, what's also not okay is that he had his mom and her friend, quote unquote, I think that they're lesbian lovers, a real estate agent hiding in the bathroom. And he's like, I really wanted you to meet my mom and her friend, the real estate agent. And I was like, what is this weird title thing that they're doing here?
Yeah.
And Bree is like, okay. And she looks like she's about to have hives again. George springs it on her that he hopes that they can live there. And then he proposes.
Oh, man. This is brutal when he proposes. I could just feel her cringing.
Yeah. It's Bree is like, what the fuck? He says, I love you, and I think I know how you feel about me. They have not dropped I love you.
No.
No.
Not that we know of. I mean, he's kind of said he loves her, but it's not, never in like a I love you kind of way.
It's been in a, like a murder way.
Yeah.
I love you, and I hope you can love me back one day, too. Rex has not been dead for 2 months, and I think Bree says something along those lines. And then George says, if death taught us anything, it's not life is short. And if we see a chance for happiness, we should grab it and hold on to it. And Bree is like, I thought we were just going to a yard sale this morning. It says, this is a lot.
Yeah, no, she's like, what the fuck's going on? Even so, Rex died not that fucking long ago, dude. Like, what? Yeah, like, this is crazy.
He says, say the word and you'll make me the happiest guy ever. And the moms come out with champagne too early. That's, I guess, where they come out. And I'm like, this is wild. He's like, what do you say? And Bree is like, okay. And I said, why? I said, why, Bree? This is so stupid.
Yeah, no. Terrible.
So she chugs a glass of champagne. But the rest of this is pretty absurd. That starts it off. Bree goes to therapy a bunch about this, as you should. Well, she should have just been like, no, I don't want to marry you. But she goes to therapy a lot. She has a banger of a line that I'm going to tell you in a minute. Bree eventually, she's talking to Dr. Goldfein. She talks it out. She tells George that she doesn't know if they should get married and like move in and all this stuff. And George ends up going to kill Dr. Goldfein. So that's the gist of it.
Yeah.
What?
The storyline's just so fucking insane. Like, it's just peak. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
If Gabby had, like, a, you know, action movie, soapy storyline last week, like, this mm-hmm. week it's Bree's turn.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We catch up with Bree. She's in therapy over this moment, as she should be. And she's like, it was horrible. If I had said no, he would have been devastated. And Dr. Goldfein's like, so you said yes to be polite?
Yeah, like,
okay. She says, having good manners has a downside. And I'm like, wow, that's the most typical Bree thing. And then he's like, so when are you gonna tell him how you really feel? And she's like, not planning to. That's kind of what I want to talk to you about. I think I should just keep doing this.
I'm
like,
yeah.
What the fuck? And this therapist is like, come again.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, there's something comforting. And like, I know it's rash, but we have same interests. He loves the opera. Like, we saw this one and he cries and he loves art and poetry and yada, 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 yada. And like, we've all had that friend that's like convincing herself that she really likes this dude.
And like, yeah,
you've heard your friend say this shit. Like, she's like, he's just like really, he's a really good guy. And you're like, oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
She says, you know, I don't know, but I guess that's like why I'm here. He's just like super nice, and I like him, and I don't know. And then Dr. Goldfein just calls her. He said, "You've said many times that you're comfortable with him, but you don't feel the same way as you did for Rex." And Bree's a little bit defeated, but she says a line that I'm obsessed with. She says, "True love is great, but at this point in my life, I'd rather just go to the opera." And I was like, dang.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been there.
No, and I get where she's coming from with that. I think, I don't know, there comes a point where sometimes that's how we feel.
Yeah, where sometimes you just want to be with somebody that, like, is comfortable and it's, like, not the biggest, you know, you have those people you date. You're like, that was fun. Like, they were fun, but not the love of my life, maybe.
And yeah.
At the time accepted that that was, like, what you were looking for a little bit. Like,
mm-hmm.
So I respect that Bree knows herself right now. I can give her that, even though I don't think she should marry the motherfucker. Good on
Hell
her.
No.
Just accepting. But Bree is, like, getting ready. She's, like, going to George's house to get him for the movies.
Yeah.
That's what she thinks is going to happen whatever night this is. And he says that there's been a change of plans. His mother had a couple of friends over, and he really wants her to meet them. And I'm just like, what the heck? Like, what is this? And it's a fucking full-out party. And he's like, do you mind? And it's like, yeah, I fucking mind. There's a million people here. And he's, like, introducing her to his accountant and, like, all these other people. And they're talking about babies and, like, 9 months. And, like, people are embarrassing George, like, joking about, like, how they never thought that he'd have kids or, you know, just weird shit's going on.
Yeah, it gets, like, pretty, like... just aggressive, like, for a first time meeting anybody to say anything that, like, what they say.
Yeah, they're like, his mom is talking about Bree's eggs, like, that they're not good after 40, and Bree just fucking has it. Oh, I also respect her for this. She, like, leaves with a champagne glass in her hand.
Yeah, she's like, bye.
Leaves in style, I know. And George is like, where are you going? She's like, I'm taking my champagne and my aging eggs, and I'm going the fuck home.
Yeah.
And she just says it. Like, she's got Dr. Goldfein heavy on her mind. She says, I'm starting to think we made a huge mistake by, like, rushing into this engagement. And, like, other people have like, said that to me, too. It's not just me. And mm-hmm. George is out for Andrew. And he says, Andrew said that? And she says, no, my therapist, you asshole. And George is like, your therapist doesn't know.
Which is, like... kind of such a cop-out. Like, okay, but my therapist knows me, so, like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, and she says that. She says, he knows me better than you do. I've known him fucking longer. Jesus. So George is offended. He says, how can you say that? And she says, he knows the last thing I'd ever want to do is have more children.
Mm-hmm.
And George realizes that he didn't fucking know that. He goes, huh.
Yeah, he's like, oh, oops.
Typical white man
response. Yeah, just like so focused on what he wants or whatever. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, and Bree is like, you should know that kind of shit about me. That's the kind of thing that people know about the person they're marrying. And
yeah,
it doesn't matter. I don't need children. And Bree is like, it's not just that. Like, there's other concerns, and I'm starting to think he's right. And, you know, George sees that this is not going his way, and he says, I'll agree with him on one thing, and we should slow down. Just because we're engaged doesn't mean we have to get married anytime soon. And I said, I wrote it here before it happened. I said, George is about to kill that motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. He's, like, planning it as she's talking.
The therapist is out jogging, and you see it coming from a literal mile away. Therapist is jogging, and George bikes by, like, super inconspicuous, and gets off his bike, and he pretends to stretch, and then he literally kills that motherfucker, like I said. With no witnesses.
It throws him off, like, what, a bridge? Or is it, like, a dam?
Yeah,
like,
he throws him off a bridge.
Like, it's so crazy. I'm like, what the fuck?
And I said, no witnesses. He looks around, and there are no fucking witnesses.
It's crazy.
That's where we end up, and I was scared for Bree last episode, but, like, I'm even more scared of her, like, for her now.
No, like, he's like, almost, like, he's, like, hunting the people around her, like, oh my god, like, that's fucking insane.
I'm like, the obsession is too far. I, like, made a joke before we started recording. I'm like, if he's not gonna kill for you, it's not real, but, like, don't be killing all the people that are, like, she trusts.
Yeah, no, like, it's insane. It's literally insanity.
pretty wild. So Mary Alice Young takes us out. I wonder what she's thinking. I wonder what she would say to fucking Bree right now, dating George. But we don't know that. She just says, yes, cameras are tools designed to capture images. But in truth, they can capture so much more. They can uncover hidden longing of men who should no longer care. They can reveal the extraordinary secrets of the most ordinary images. Cameras can quietly and clearly reveal to us our dreams, dreams we didn't even know we had. So it was an epic ride.
Yeah, this was a pretty intense episode. I feel like a lot of interesting stuff happened. And all the women, I think, had a lot to do.
Yeah.
Even though, like, Lynette's story wasn't as, like, intense, I guess, I still found it very fun and interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was the perfect, like, palate cleanser for some of the other ones because, like I said, Gabby's was really emotional, which is uncharacteristic for her, and I feel like Bree's was action. Like, there was a lot of things happening for Bree. It was, like, action-oriented.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Susan just fucking makes the biggest mistake of all time. So it was like, even though Lynette didn't do much, she had like a bit of a palate cleanser.
Yeah, absolutely.
For us. But that brings us to our fabulous and famous Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Mm-hmm.
I can go first.
Okay.
Because I'm pretty sure that I would like to fuck Carl.
What?
I'm pretty sure that's my choice because I just think I've said this last episode, I think I really have PTSD from like my fuckboy like years. It brings me a sense of comfort almost that like you could just kick him out. Like I feel like he was just down for whatever. Like she kicked him out in the morning. I don't know. I just, there's something about Carl. I just find appealing. So I would fuck Carl.
Okay. That's fair.
I would marry Mike because I know that he would have no fucking former ties with any of his ex-girlfriends ever.
Yeah.
Like, oh, if he's throwing away Valentine's cards.
Like the day after they break up.
Like in front of her face. I would marry Mike for sure because he's all mine. All mine.
That's a good point. Okay.
So, fuck Carl just because he's a fuckboy and that's what you do with them. Marry Mike because will be in love with you and only you. He doesn't give a fuck about his ex. Not holding pictures of her. And then I would kill George to save Dr. Goldfein because I don't want this motherfucker committing murders everywhere.
Yeah, I'm going to agree on killing George. I think that's a pretty universal kill. At this point, because he's psychotic.
Every episode, we're just killing George over and over.
Yeah. And then, ooh. I don't know. I think I would marry. I didn't really have picks yet, but I'm going to agree with you on Mike as well for marrying, because that's an excellent point. I love, like, yeah, you don't have to deal with his exes. He said, bye, bitch, and he moves on. I like that.
A loyal man.
Yeah. And then fuck, I guess, this is going to sound weird, but I guess I'm going to pick Bree in this episode because I feel like Bree is just like, was weirdly herself in this episode. Like she was really honest with her therapist and who she was. And then like, I love how she handled like helping Gabby and the advice she gave. And like, that's a turn on. I like that she's like, she's just figuring out who she is. And that's awesome. Outside of, like, Rex and George.
I was thinking now, I'm like, one of us should have chosen the weird neighbor couple.
I don't like their peekaboo game. That made me, scared me.
I don't like their peekaboo game, no. And also, neither of them are, like, that attractive. But I do think that was funny. It was the funniest storyline.
Oh, for sure.
That brings us to our housewife of the week.
Mm-hmm.
This one's tough. Because typically we're going on like manipulation or like things like that. Did they get away with something? But I actually think I have to give it to Bree because she did have a monologue and she had the zinger of the line this episode that I'm obsessed with where it's like, I just want to go to the opera. And I think like you said, she was just authentically herself and like being honest with everyone around her. So I have to give it to Bree in my opinion.
Okay. I mean, I'm going to agree with you. I really like I said, that's why I picked her, I guess, in my fuck. Like, I think that she's handling things in a really like, she's like the anti-Susan.
Yeah.
Like, I think she actually is thinking things through and trying to, like, you know, she's also traumatized. Like, her husband just died. Like, that's a lot. And so I think you're allowed to kind of be, not necessarily make mistakes. I don't think she's making a mistake per se. She doesn't quite know how crazy George is. But she's, like, maybe not seeing as many red flags because she's still kind of recovering from what happened.
Yeah, I think she's trying her best. She's doing her best. But she's also, she came through with a friendship moment as well for Gabby, I have to say.
Yeah.
Going back to grab the picture, helping her in and out of the dress. I think she's just killing it all around, even though she doesn't know she's being wildly manipulated.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, Brie hasn't had that title in a while, and I'm glad that we can give it back to her.
Me too. I love when Brie's our housewife.
Yes, she's the only housewife in my heart. so that brings us to our rating, which I'm kind of nervous.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, 3, 2, 1, 4.5.
Dang, I went a little high again.
I know, you've been going pretty... I was going to give it a 4.5, but then I was like, we haven't had a Paul. We didn't see any Paul Zach
situation. That's true. Okay.
And I felt like the Applewhites were, like, there, yeah, but their storyline was stupid.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it was, like, fun for Gab... Not fun, it was dark, but, like, it was good to push Gabby's storyline forward, I guess, but overall, like, it's just kind of weak. But I did like all the women's stories this week. I don't know. I thought that it was all really interesting. This episode moved really fast because it felt like each story was good. Yeah. And even though Susan was annoying as fuck, like, it was intriguing.
I feel the same. I liked all the women's storylines. There was nothing that left me heavily disappointed or anything. Besides, like, obviously Susan is stupid. Like, that made me pissed off. I thought, yeah, even though Lynette had kind of a one-off, it was so funny, I didn't care. Like, I should have given it maybe a higher rating, but we're too far along now, so it's fine. 4.25. But yeah, mostly getting marks for not having Paul and then the Applewhite's weak storyline.
Overall though, good ratings, good episode. A lot happened. I'm excited to see what happens next.
I would say season 2 has been getting higher marks overall.
It's weird, it has been, and like, I'm surprised with my own ratings, I guess. I don't know.
I'm glad we can walk it back together. That you haven't watched too. This one so long, because you were like adamant that you were going to hate it for quite a while.
Yeah, no, I'm glad like I'm revisiting it in this way too, because I think it's showing me stuff that is like part, like I remembered the bad stuff, but I didn't really remember the good stuff. So I'm glad I'm getting to see that again.
Yeah, remember the good things. But if you are listening along, we're so happy that you are here. I kind of am curious, any of our viewers, we've gotten a few DMs, any of our listeners, I should say, you're not viewing us, but like, I think we got a DM or two about like people's favorite seasons, ranking them in order. But if season 2 is your favorite, give us a shout out. You can reach us on our Instagram. It's mostly where we're active. We do live tweet every week. We have a website, but reach out to us in any way. We love hearing from you all anytime that you have something to talk about, Desperate Housewives related.
Absolutely.
So we know the holidays are coming up. I think we're still going to be releasing every Monday, but if not, we'll try to give you a post about any hiatus.
Yeah.
But we hope that everybody has a safe and happy holiday coming up.
Of course.
And if you have any time off, you have lots of time to watch Desperate Housewives.
So take advantage.
Yeah, but thanks for joining us. Next week, we will be here on Monday again, recapping season 2, episode 8. So come and join us then too. But in the meantime, you know what we leave you with, the advice to know your neighbors.
Know your neighbors.